This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
My name's Reino. I'm from Cape Town. My beautiful wife is sitting here in front. She's amazing. She wasn't going to make it here this morning because she had to do the washing and packing because we're leaving after church. But she did that like super fast and now she's here. Yes, that needs a hand. Some of the men are clapping. It's amazing. Amazing to have a beautiful wife. And she can preach. She can actually stand here. She preaches much better than I do. She's really amazing support. So together we pastor the church in Cape Town, in Rondebosch specifically, together with a team, some of who are sitting here in front. No successful church. Is a one-man show, and it's just incredible to lead a church together with amazing people. And so God, we're just so excited about what God is doing. I'm going to share a brief message. I hope to be brief this morning. And like I said, it's so amazing, the band preparing us, leading us. It's always amazing if God does what he wants to do. And we just, you know, I get the privilege of just telling you what he's doing already in your heart. And you can just say amen to that, and you can just agree and perhaps understand. You know, I think sometimes we put too much of an emphasis on our understanding, right? God can do something that surpasses your understanding, and then he can tell you afterwards what happened, right? He's God. We don't need to understand what he does, but he then does come afterwards sometimes and help us to understand what he has done. And so obviously, I think most of us, or a lot of us, are in a time of rest. We're resting. And what I want to share this morning, there's a picture up on the screen. My wife is not only an amazing servant and a good preacher, but she's also a prophetic artist. So it's amazing to have little pictures to illustrate my sermon. So I'm going to speak about renewing your strength. I was going to share a different message last week. I joined the service here, and Uncle Bell was preaching. It was a really amazing sermon. And in the sermon, I felt the following words: even young men fail, but God renews our strength. And I just, you know, that it doesn't particularly, that phrase, even young men fail, doesn't point to the age. But it refers to someone you would think that they would have a lot of strength. Even they fail, right? Even those that seem to be the strongest, they fail. But the promise, of course, in Isaiah chapter 40 is that God, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, right? So we're in a time of rest, and I think often as Christians, when we go into rest, we can get it quite wrong. In that we often rest away from God instead of resting in God. And those of you who have done that, you'll know you always come back more tired after resting like that. But if you rest in God, you know, you don't have to break for long. You can rest in him. In fact, a theologian, John Andrews, says that biblically speaking, we work from a place of rest. We don't earn rest because we've worked hard. So I think that's often in our society, in our culture, especially in South Africa. We work hard the whole year and then we look forward. You know, some people, they're like, December, if I can just get there, you know, I can get my reward on the beaches of Hermanus. We just want to make it to the end. But that's not actually biblical rest, according to him. He says that we rest first, and then from there, we begin to work. There's a bit of a different emphasis there. He says, man was created on the sixth day. So the first day of man's existence was rest. And then followed the following day, which was work. Right, so that's I think, the pattern. But the emphasis this morning is on God, who is able to make us strong. So strength could mean a couple of things. And I want to talk about, I want to answer some questions. I'm not going to do a complete topical study on strength. You can, there's so much in the Bible about strength. But I want to try and answer some questions. The first one is, I'm not going to give you the answer. I hope to touch on some of these questions throughout the morning. But one of them is, why would you want to be strong, firstly? I think that's an important question to ask is, you know, why would you want to be strong? I think sometimes it's nice to lean on someone else, right? Sometimes it's nice to depend on another person, right? Why would you want to be strong, right? And I think, obviously, I've got two little kids. They're very cute. But for them, you know, they can often lean on me because it's age appropriate, right? They're little children. Sometimes, you know, my boy likes fighting. You know, he likes to, you know, put up a show and do things. But when he's weak, he can come to his dad, right? It's fine. He doesn't need to be strong. The second question is, why it's not good to rely on the strength you think you have in yourself? I'm also going to try and answer that. What is strength, and how does God's strength look like? So strength could mean several things. It could mean building capacity. So our church in Cape Town has gone through about a 6 month to a year period where we're just saying we want to build strength. We want to get ready. We want to build capacity. We want to do some groundwork. So we've done some long, hard digging deep and discovering who we are and what God has put in us. And so that's a certain strength if you build that capacity. Strength could also mean an emotional capacity or a resilience, right? The fact that you might go through difficulties, difficult challenges, difficult things at work, but you've built up a strength to be able to face it and to face it with strength, right? And not perhaps to have another response. Strength would also mean the belief and spiritual knowing, a belief in God, the fact, the experience or the belief that God would come through in a situation. That could also be strength. And so we are relational beings, and our trust is formed through experience. So the more you believe God for something, the more you trust and step out in faith and trust in His strength, the more that trust builds, and there's a certain strength that comes from the inside. I want to, for a brief moment, just go back to that first slide, David. That picture. So it's a picture of the scripture in Isaiah chapter 11, which is the branch. So that picture is a picture of hope. Because, and it's a theme throughout the scriptures. You see it in the Old Testament. It prophetically speaks about Jesus ahead when Jesus would come in the Gospels. But it speaks of a hopeless situation, right? Specifically, politically, to the people. I think we as South Africans can sometimes relate to this. But there's a picture of a tree with great strength. But that tree is just, there was, you know, some sort of destruction happened. The tree was chopped off. The strength of the tree was removed, right? And so in this particular scripture in Isaiah 11, it speaks about this nation of Israel that was this political power. There was this force, but because of their sin, because of their idolatry, the tree was chopped off by the nations surrounding them. And so God and the prophet Isaiah comes and he speaks forth hope. He says there will be a new branch, right? There's a remnant. You might feel like it's hopeless. Everything's lost. You might be sad and you know, discouraged because this tree was beautiful, it was strong, but it's chopped off now. There's nothing left, right? But there's a little branch that springs forth, right? And so, obviously, ultimately, it speaks about Jesus. He is the branch. That's actually, you know, it's so clear in Isaiah chapter 11 that's what the scripture speaks about, because Jesus comes in a completely hopeless situation. All this politically, the strength of the Jews has been taken away. And in fact, in a spiritual sense, there was a need of reformation because the people of God had moved away from God. And so again, Christ comes as you know, in this place of weakness. And he's the branch that grows forth. And the undoable happens. We sang about it this morning. The unthinkable happens. Jesus dies, the most hopeless situation that has ever happened. But in that most hopelessness, there's a branch that comes forth. Jesus, he was raised from the dead. I always say, the most hopeless situation has already been overcome. No matter what a hopeless situation you are facing, the most hopeless one has already been overcome. So you can just rest in that. Isn't that amazing? Right? Think of it. That the hope of the world, the hope of humanity, rested on Jesus, and then he was dead. Right? All hope is our Savior. Right? So our Savior was dead for 3 days. That is quite a hopeless situation, right? Obviously, we know the story. We know the end of the story. But if you didn't know the end, you would feel quite hopeless. And we see that response in the disciples. But in any case, he was raised from the dead. It's a season to celebrate that, the fact that he's raised from the dead. But I want you to look at the branch. Because you could ask the question, how do we know that this branch will survive? How do we know that this branch will make it and grow again into a big tree? And so the one approach would be to say, well, fate will determine if that branch will make it. So if all the conditions, all the externals, if there's enough rain, there's no drought, there's not a terrible wind or some sort of a disaster that, you know, destroys this little branch or you know, works against it, then it'll make it. That's the one approach. The other approach would be to say, but listen, that branch, the internals of that branch will determine whether the branch makes it or not, right? The fact that no matter what comes against this branch, he's going to make it, right? This branch will just continue to grow, not because of its strength, but because of where it's connected. That's a picture of us, right? So you can look at your own life and you can say, well, all of my circumstances, everything just works out according to plan, I'll make it. I don't think that's such a secure way of looking at things. I would rather say, but listen, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is in me. And no matter what circumstance, it's not going to maybe go according to plan, but because of who is in me, that will determine whether the branch will make it into a big, strong tree. Right, what could strength mean as well? Strength could also mean unity in relationships, strength in relationships. Again, Isaiah chapter 11 speaks of the Holy Spirit, the sevenfold manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of wisdom. But one of them is the spirit of might. Right? That's a strength. Again, the same spirit that strengthened Samson in the Old Testament. The same spirit that strengthened Gideon and David and Caleb to slay giants and do amazing things. That's still the same Holy Spirit. Amen? I think sometimes we look at the Old Testament and we don't take what Jesus says serious when he says, it's a greater covenant. Right? And you will do greater works than even Jesus did. Right? So we look at the Old Testament and we think, well, that's for them. You know, Samson could do amazing things because it was, you know, and sometimes I think our perceptions of, you know, little children Bible stories, you know. But it's the same Spirit that strengthened those guys, and it's the same Holy Spirit. And I've been in situations where I didn't know where my strength was going to come from. And then it literally supernaturally came from God. And that's the same Holy Spirit that we have today. So the spirit of might. And then finally, strength could also mean the ability to resist the enemy. So spiritual warfare is real. And the enemy is real. The good news is just that he's been overcome. And our God is greater. But we cannot face the enemy ourselves. If we try to do it in our own strength, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. But in him. I want to read an excerpt from a book written by Joe Booth. And he studied the Puritans in the UK and the revival that happened there. And he looked at them and they literally transformed a culture, a nation. They literally transformed every part of society by their impact. It was a real, true revival. And so he writes the following, and he compares it to the Christianity we have today in some parts, or the whole holistic picture of Christianity, with the Puritans and the way that they followed God in those days. So he says, the Puritans exemplified maturity. We don't. Spiritual warfare made the Puritans what they were. They accepted conflict as their calling, seeing themselves as their Lord's soldier pilgrims, not expecting to be able to advance a single step without opposition of some sort or another. Today, however, Christians in the West are found to be, on the whole, passionless, passive, and one fierce prayerless. Cultivating an ethos that encloses personal piety in a pietistic cocoon, they leave public affairs to go their own way and neither expect nor, for the most part, seek influence beyond their own Christian circle. So it's quite a scary quote. It's quite an intense quote, but it speaks to two things. It speaks to, one, the kingdom of God that extends beyond the building of the church. The kingdom of God that extends into all spheres of society. And a part of the kingdom, perhaps, that we neglect. The second part that it speaks into is the mindset of the people of that day. And I'm so encouraged by it because they had this understanding, the Puritans, that they were advancing God's kingdom. And they knew if they were to advance the kingdom, there would be resistance because there's two kingdoms clashing. And so they had an expectation, if we advance, we will have resistance, okay? And the fact that we have resistance is an indication of the fact that we are doing something right. I think sometimes the theology today in popular Christianity is, I'm getting resistance, I'm doing something wrong. I need to do something else, right? I don't think that's completely biblical. God wants to bless us. God wants to make crooked paths straight before us. He wants to lift up valleys and lower mountains. He wants to do all those things. But Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will be resisted because you are meant to advance God's kingdom. Right? So strength could mean resisting the enemy. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Right? A strength to continue. It's a really powerful picture, that of strength, resisting the enemy. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. One of the names of God, and this is the key, this is the crux of the message. One of the names of God we see in 1 Samuel chapter 15 is that he is our strength. He's called, the prophet there calls him, the strength of Israel. That's his name. He's the strength of you, of believers. He is our strength. We can stand strong on him, in him. Some translations translate that scripture. Let me read it for you. Verse 29, chapter 15. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent. So I think there's a sense of our humanity. We're human, right? And God is fine with the fact that young men fail sometimes. Young men fall. Even those that we're supposed to think that they're going to make it, they sometimes don't make it, right? God is fine with our humanity. But he's not human. He's God. He is perfect. We can always lean on him. We can always trust in Him. Some translations translate this verse and they say He is the glory of Israel. So sometimes glory is a difficult concept to understand, but an aspect of glory is strength. I think I said it earlier. We are thankful to God because He loves us, but we worship Him because of His power. You can read the book of Revelations and the book of Ezekiel. When the angels worship God, it's because of His power. They sing it in the heavens. They sing, "You are glorious, you are powerful." And they worship God because of His power. And so we need to ask God, say, "God, show me your strength." Because I don't want the emphasis to be on me, because my strength seems insignificant to face the situation. Your strength. If you're standing before the Jordan and you need to pass through, there's a million people, it's an impossibility. With your strength, it's going to take you years to cross that Jordan, right? But you cannot, because people will starve. So it's an impossibility. But if you have your eyes on God, the strength, then it's a possibility, because you're leaning on His strength. The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines strength as a capacity for exertion and endurance. Exertion means a physical or a mental effort. And the scriptures would add a third part to that as a spiritual effort. The capacity for spiritual effort. The word strong means the following: having or marked by great physical power. So it could be physical, having moral or intellectual power, having great resources, and so on. We see David, one of my favorite stories in Scripture. He's completely surrounded. He's completely in a hopeless situation. Who's ever been in a place where you're like, you don't know where the help's going to come from, but you can't see it? It's an impossibility again. I was faced with a similar situation earlier this year, really tense situation, and you know, I just praise God for His faithfulness. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer 2 years ago, and then after trusting in a process and medical treatment, she was healed. And then I think it was July this year, she went for a test and scans, and they picked up something concerning, and so she went back for tests again, and so they found something in her other breast and they were concerned about it. And so they went to the hospital, Panorama Hospital, and to do the tests. And when they got home, my dad had a stroke on the same day that they did the tests. And then they rushed back to the same hospital. So it was the switching out of the, you know, then mom was in the hospital, then my dad was in the hospital. And the next day, the report came out that she didn't have the same cancer she had the previous time. She had triple negative cancer, which is an extremely aggressive cancer. In the other breast. So my dad was in the hospital. She was, you know, she had to go through chemo. So it was this really intense time. And the testimony is actually my parents' testimony, because they are really amazing. They've just stood so strong through adversity. But in that moment, I knew that I had a role to play. And I had to, you know, and my role would be to just speak positive words. I knew that that was what God was requiring of me. But of course, your first reaction is perhaps not to think the positive thought. It's not to think, you know, everything's going to be fine. The first thought is, what if this happened? What if my dad dies today? Or what if my mom doesn't get healed? And it's this really tense situation. And fortunately, that morning, you know, praise God for having the right quiet times, sometimes at the right moments. But in that quiet time, God had prepared me for what had happened. He didn't specifically say it. It's not like I knew what was coming. But I knew there was something, because God had given me this promise. And so my first reaction was to think, what's going to happen? And then my second reaction was, no, God had prepared me for this. And I think the temptation is to sometimes lean on our own strength, because you can, right? You have some emotional capacity. You have some strength and you have some ideas, right? And the danger is to then to try your attempts. Who's faced a difficult situation and then you thought, but listen, I can do this. I can fix it. And then you go and fix it. You go and do it in your strength until it doesn't work. You've tried everything in your power and it's not happening. Now, why did you do that? Right? I've just found this in myself. Sometimes I tried in my own strength until everything's failed and then I go to God. Why did I do that? Why did I waste that time? And it's not just the time, because when I eventually go to God, I'm emotionally and spiritually exhausted because I've tapped everything. I could have just gone to God in the first place, right? Does anyone relate with that? I think sometimes, you know, we as men are a bit more prone to this. I want to just fix it with my way first. I want to try all my attempts. But in that situation, you know, by the grace of God, I could lean on Him. And, you know, I could just be positive in that situation. Jesus, of course, that picture that we showed initially, is the ultimate picture of strength. He's the ultimate picture of strength in weakness. He goes to the cross, motivated by love, inspired by the joy that was ahead of Him, but by the strength, the inner strength in Him to face the cross unto death. The garden of Gethsemane, the word means the oil press. That, by the way, that picture was it's an olive branch. But in any case, Jesus was pressed in that garden up to such a point where He sweated blood. Right? He could face that challenge, and He overcame it by His strength. He's able to overcome. I want you to see this. Psalm 52, verse 6 to 8. The psalm points out this tension between our strength and God's strength. And it's quite severely. Sometimes we think, well, it's not sin to lean on my strength and to do it as I think I can do it and then to go to God. It's not sin. But look at what the psalm says. He says, "The righteous also shall see and fear, and shall laugh at Him, saying," you must read the whole psalm, it speaks about this person. And it says in verse 7, "Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness." But then he says, on the opposite side, conversely, he says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." Now, a green olive tree, again, the Garden of Gethsemane, it's the name means the olive press. And the garden, if you've been to Israel, is filled with olive trees, but extremely old, and these strong, strong olive trees. It's that image of strength. But it says, like, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. And I want to just say this. He says it very specifically. The fact that I'm a green olive tree, in fact, strong and nurtured and all these things, is because I'm in the house of God. Many people say, well, I love Jesus and I've got relationship with Him, so I can do it. Right? And yes, we have relationship with Jesus. That's the amazing thing. We don't have to go through the priest to God. We can go directly to Jesus because of His blood, right? But here we see, I'm a green olive tree because I'm in the house of God. There's a sustenance. If you can go back to that picture again of the olive tree, It's not the fact that the tree is so amazingly beautiful. It's because the tree is rooted. Those roots are not cut off. They're deep into the ground, right? They derive their strength from the fact that they are in the house of God. So perhaps you love Jesus, but you don't love his house. I want to challenge you on that. I want you to embrace what Scripture says and what God says. A friend of mine called me this week in Cape Town. The Lord has led us to a property, and so we're trusting to purchase a property. It's an absolute impossibility because we didn't even have a deposit to pay this thing, and we're quite far in the process. It's not completely finalized yet. It's this amazing historical property. In fact, it was built, get this, if you know your history in South Africa, it was built in 1657. So, you know, when we got there, we were like, maybe heritage will be an issue. You know, because if a house is older than 60 years, the heritage on this property is a bit more intense, right? Built in 1657, Jan van Riebeeck gave it to the first 9 Freiburgers. They occupied it. It's on the bank of the Liesbeek. And in just praying about this property and should we go for it, should we do it, I just felt that God said he's taking us back to the roots of this nation to relay the foundation, because that property symbolizes segregation. It's the first root of segregation of this nation, because Jan van Riebeeck had built a hedge right around that, you know, you'll find the hedge still in Kirstenbosch today. But he had built a wall around separating the local people from the company, the Fierwasser. So it symbolizes segregation. And I felt God said to us, listen, I'm sure most of you know about the prophecies about the revival from the southern tip of Africa. All right? There's a revival that's going to come from the southern tip of Africa. And, you know, we believe that's what God is saying, because so many people have said that. Actually, that's what I was going to share this morning. There's a 66 pages document of all the prophecies that has been spoken, you know, from John G. Lake in the 1900s all the way. You know, many people independently coming to South Africa and Cape Town and saying, this is what's going to happen. So I just felt God said he's going to take us back to that. But now, in this going in with this property, absolutely everything has gone wrong and has been difficult. It's been incredibly difficult. And so a couple of people have said, maybe this isn't God, right? Because it's just so difficult. And my friend Peter phoned me earlier this week and he says, man, sometimes the fact that things are really difficult and it's really just not working out and it's really just not coming together doesn't mean it's not from God. You know, and conversely, sometimes everything can be really smooth and things can go really well, but that also doesn't mean it's from God. Right? And it's like the Puritans, you know, if you're going to do something significant, you'll find resistance. And then it's up to you to say, I cannot depend on my own strength. I need to press into God. I need to trust him, because he's the only one that can do it. And God will always call you to something that you don't have strength in yourself or to face. You know, he's going to do that. I'm going to wrap up this morning. Proverbs 24, verse 10. This scripture, and this has been just touching me the last while. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Another translation says, if you fail under adversity, how weak is your strength? And it's just a reminder, Proverbs sometimes has these real challenging words. But I'm challenged by this, because if my strength is so little that when something happens, I cannot do it, it means my strength is quite little. But the hope is there. The promise is there, like we saw with David. He could strengthen himself in the Lord. And I believe that's not a little story. That's not a little Bible school story. That's not a just a once-off thing that happened with David. I believe that's a Christian discipline. I never shared about the story of David, but David was surrounded by a hopeless situation. One of the most hopeless situations that you could see in his whole life. His wives were taken captive. His children were taken captive. And then it wasn't his enemy, but his closest friends, the people that fought through the most difficult times with him, turned against him. And they wanted to stone him. I think all of us, or most of us in this room, would have given up right there and have said, God, you know, we give up. But he didn't. He sat back, and the scripture says he strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he stood up, he took his army, and he went to fetch his wives and his children. He didn't lean on his own strength. Sometimes God allows us to get to no strength so that we would lean on his strength. But let's grow beyond that, where we just go to his strength from the word go. But let's learn that discipline. Final scripture before we pray this morning, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. The scripture says, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up the standard. Some translations, the King James series of translations, translate that scripture with a comma. The original Hebrew text did not have a comma. So some translations read, when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard. But if you go and look at the original Hebrew, it reads more correct, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard. Big difference, right? Big difference. I think sometimes the enemy would want to put the emphasis on him, where the emphasis is not on him, the emphasis is on God, God's response. So sometimes we're tempted to be overwhelmed with adversity. The enemy is really against us and it's really difficult. And the way to counter that is to lift up the standard. Sometimes you can't lean on your experience. You haven't experienced this. You need something higher. You need something greater. And through God's strength, we lift up the standard and he overcomes for us. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for your strength. And you can come up. And I thank you for what you have done. And I thank you that you've already been moving in our hearts and moving in worship. You've already done it, Jesus. It's all done. You don't need to do it again. It's done. You're just extending it to us. I want to give you another opportunity here this morning while every eye is closed. I want to give you the opportunity to take it. To take that strength. It's yours. He's won it, but he gives it to you. I want to pray for you this morning. If you feel far away from Jesus, this Jesus maybe once was so real, so alive, but this morning there's just a distance between you and him. I want to pray for you if you love Jesus, but you hate the church. You in theory believe that there could be something like the church, but your emotional reaction is, I don't like these people. I don't like the imperfection I see. I don't like this house of God concept. This house of God, that's in my home, or where I meet with other people, that's my understanding of the house of God. I want to pray for you. Because sometimes it's not about theology, sometimes it's about the experience that is in your heart. Any hardness of heart is not good. Jesus rebuked his disciples. He said, you of hardened heart. You've just seen the miracles that I've done. Now you've hardened your heart. Now you don't see it. You don't see it. You're not even open to it. I feel prophetically there's someone here today. You have hardened your heart. And you're angry at God because you cannot see Him coming through for you. But the reason why is because you've hardened your heart. His miracles cannot flow through because that there's that blockage that is in your heart. The great news is that Jesus is the healer. The same way that He heals us physically, He heals our hearts, He restores us. So I want to pray for a couple of people this morning. If that's you, and in your heart there's some sort of hardness, perhaps towards the church, perhaps towards a spouse or a family member, Jesus wants us to have soft hearts. And it's only He that is able to change us. So I want you, if that's you, won't you just in humility stretch out your hands to the heavens, in surrender, say, Jesus, come and soften my heart. Thank you, Father, for the many hands that are responding to you right now. We confess our utter dependence on you, Jesus. We confess our need to be healed. We cannot do it by ourselves, God. We could never. We couldn't have gone to the cross. You did it, Jesus. You paid the price that I couldn't pay. And so thank you, Jesus, that you come and give me strength. That you heal this heart. Lord, even David, he was a man after your heart. He was a worshiper. He was this amazing man. He cried out to you. He said, God, give me a new heart. Give me a heart that is soft. I want you just to ask God, just where you're sitting, if you're stretching out your hands, just say, God, give me a new heart. A heart that is soft. A heart that can believe like a child. A heart that can take what you have won on my behalf. It's not about what I can do. It's not about my strength, Jesus. It's about what you have done. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for you if there's a distance between you and Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you haven't ever publicly confessed your faith. Then there's an opportunity here this morning to say, Jesus, I open up. I open up. I say, come in. Be that Lord. Be that strength of Israel in my life. Not in a distant way, but here up close. Be my Savior. We all need saving. Because the Bible says we are all heading towards destruction. The most intense sin, the worst sin, is the belief that I can do it independent of God. Like that Psalm read. Foolish is he who thinks he can do it in his own strength. Can think that he can do it independent of you. The ultimate confession of our strength in God is saying, Jesus, come and save me. I surrender all. I give you all. Come and save me. Come and change you. And perhaps you just need to come to God again. Maybe you've lived like you know Him previously, but it's just there's just that distance. Is anyone like that this morning? This is the most important thing that can happen here in the house of God. If one person comes back, comes to meet their maker. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand very high. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? I just want to prolong this opportunity. Thank you for that hand. I wasn't going to do this, but I just feel this is a special moment. I want us just to all embrace this moment. And if you raised your hand, it's a couple of people, some young guys. I want you to be very bold. You've raised your hand, you've responded to Jesus. And now just take a stand. I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you. I'm gonna trust that Jesus would do something. He's already done something in you. That you'll never be the same again. But I want you to quickly just step out from where you are. Just quickly come and meet me in front. We want to pray for you. There were a couple of other people. Right, you can just stand here. There we go. Let's just put our hands together for these people. Hallelujah. 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 All right, let's stretch out our hands towards them. Won't you guys pray with me? In fact, we can all pray together. Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning and I thank you for your salvation. I invite you in, Jesus. I rely on your strength and I thank you that you save me. I thank you that you make me new. The old is gone, the new has come. I bless you, Jesus. I want to just pray for you. Father, we just thank you for this woman. Thank you for what you are doing in her. Thank you for the closeness and the heart, your heart towards her, Lord. I just sense that your heart is so close. You are so close. Lord, it's like you're watching over. Thank you that you are watching over, watching her every day in every moment. And I just pray, God, that this morning she would be so aware of your presence. In fact, Lord, that's a calling, God. That's a calling, is to be aware, to be a Mary, God, to be one that sits at your feet, that is so aware of your presence and is just mindful of your presence. And just That's all of it, Lord. And I just pray for just that place of contentment, this place of joy in you, Lord. Lord, I pray for, this your son, would you? Pray for Reuben, Lord. Thank you for this precious moment where he can just allow you, Jesus, to be his father, the perfect father, the awesome one. And I thank you, Jesus, that you come and save him. I thank you that you come and make him new. Thank you that he's a warrior, God. He's a strong one. And I thank you for your protection over his life, God. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that protects him. And Lord, the shadow of your wings covers him. Thank you, God, that in every circumstance that he goes through, Lord, he will be protected. 1,000 may fall at his side, 10,000 is right then, but nothing will come near him. He will be in your hand and be protected by you. And he will grow from strength to strength and from glory to glory. He's David, Lord. He will be one that knows your might, knows your strength, in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for your servant, Lord. I just speak a blessing over him, Lord. I thank you for great strength that is already in him, Father. But I thank you that you see his heart. And you see his hunger, God. And we just thank you for meeting of that place in his heart, the desire of his heart to have more, to see more, to experience more. And I just bless him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.